Topic I would like to discuss today is the Shabbos project. The halachic issues relating to the Shabbos project. We have to be living under a stone not to see the signs. New? Did you invite someone yet for Shabbos? The official attempt for the challah bake. One cholent, one nation, one heartburn. Did anyone see these signs? Open up the newspaper. These. Okay, now I'll just. This week, there is something called the Shabbos Project. It's the third year. This was started by Rabbi Goldstein, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav from South Africa. The chief rabbi of South Africa, Rabbi Goldstein?
Yes.
Warren Goldstein? Warren Goldstein, the chief rabbi of South Africa. This is the third year. 3 years ago, this was a project that he created. He crafted for South Africa, just for South Africa. And according to his statistics, 75,000 Jews in South Africa observe Shabbos, at least to some degree, for the very first time. That is remarkable. That, he got the idea, why only limit the Shabbos project to South Africa? Why not include the entire world? So last year they put together a team. And the Shabbos project took place in 64 countries. 465 cities participated in 64 countries in the Shabbos project with 1,800 volunteers dedicated to getting everything into motion. And you can imagine what that cost. In New York, this organization called Project Inspire, which has nothing to do with the Shabbos Project, latched on. They were looking, Yaakov Salomon, he was looking to, in order to find an outlet for their goal, and Shabbos Project was a perfect opportunity to team up, so they have a joint venture, at least in Brooklyn. The Project Inspire, as far as I know, is only in New York. It's not, it's a very localized organization, but they've taken over the Shabbos Project in Flatbush in Brooklyn. If not, this year is the third year. So now, already last year, so this year they have already 5,000 volunteers. Last year there was 1,800 volunteers preparing for. They moved it up to Parshas Lech Lecha. Last year was Parshas Noach. They figured they need a little more time, so this year is Parshas Lech Lecha, another week, and they already have 5,000 volunteers getting ready for the Shabbos. It's going to be this year. In last year was 465 cities. They have 550 cities participating in 65 countries. Last year it was only 64 countries. This year, what is that extra country? Does not say in the article, but I'm very curious. What is the 65th country that's participating this year? Okay,
Iran.
It is a wonderful thing. In the biggest locations, you know, if not a project in Spa, we probably won't even hear about it. When it took place in South Africa, if you wouldn't read the newspaper, you wouldn't even know about it. New York is not a place that we're very friendly. We want to invite guests. It's a whole different situation. It's a whole different world. Eretz Yisrael, it's also. It's a whole different world. The nature of the Shabbos project in Flatbush is a world apart from what's going on in South Africa, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, but it's the same theme. The same thing is to bring awareness. You know, Ephraim Buchwald, who's probably one of the biggest experts in outreach, so he started this, he had this in America many years ago, Shabbos Across America. And he still has it? Shabbos Across America. He even has a commercials on television.
Across America, one people, one family.
And on the radio, CNN, you listen on Wins Radio, they used to have commercials, Shabbos Across America. I remember when I took the rabbinic training course, I told you about many years ago, the National Council of Israel, he was one of the presenters. He was one of those fantastic presentation about Kiruv. Unbelievable presentation, and that was the time when he was so excited because he just got that week back from the studio, the final version of the commercial commercial. The commercial of Shabbos Across America. And who was in this group? This group was a Haredi group. Lakewood, Baltimore, the local. It was a Haredi group. 50 students taking this course in rabbinic training. So he told to go out. He brought Natel. This was before the days of the LCDs, the plasma, before the flat screens. Those days, he brought in this heavy, monstrous monitor to show us. He was so excited to show us the video, the commercial, the 30-second commercial that's going to play across the entire United States. And he's warning this Haredi Lakewood guys, I want to warn you. This commercial, it's catered to people that are not Shomer Shabbos. It has to be done in a hip, a certain style that you may not be comfortable with. And that was really part of his presentation. If you're going into Rabbanis, wake up and smell the coffee. Rabbanis is not, it's not Lakewood, it's not Flappish. It's a different world out there. And it was a very, like he said, it was a very hip, cultured commercial. Yeah.
He was Rav once in Berkeley, California.
Louder,
he was Rav in Berkeley, California. In Berkeley, California, there's an Orthodox shul that was started by professors at University of Berkeley.
And
he has like two or three PhDs himself.
Yeah, he's very, 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 very capable.
But he won them over once. They thought that they would be able to run the rabbi.
Uh-huh.
So he called a meeting, and he said, look, if we have questions regarding sociology, we ask you. We have questions regarding chemistry, we'll ask you. When it comes to questions regarding Judaism, you ask me.
Very good.
And he won them over that way.
What I want to talk about now is pretty much what he spoke about. I remember nothing he said, but I remember him discussing this issue is, how are you allowed to get involved in something, this thing called the Shabbos, or we call it now the Shabbos Project, when inevitably it's going to lead to Chil Shabbos? When you invite a neighbor, when you invite your next door neighbor, or you invite someone far away, they're going to be able to get to you. They're going to drive. If you know someone, you like they advertise project and spend. You have a coworker. You know someone from work. Yeah, he lives in Queens or he lives in New Jersey. I'm going to invite him to spend with me a Shabbos meal. I'll invite him for the whole Shabbos, but he's not going to come for the whole Shabbos. He's going to come for a Shabbos lunch. So how is he going to get here? He's going to drive. Not everyone has a next door neighbor in Flatbush that's irreligious that you can invite. He's already taken by the guy across the street. So I have to get a guest from somewhere on the other side of town. So how is he going to get here? Take the train, take the bus, whatever you do, this Chil Shabbos. And don't tell me it's Chil Shabbos to Rabbanon. We're talking about Chil Shabbos to Rice. Let's not be so creative in finding love to show reasons why it's only the Rabbanon.
You drive anywhere.
You drive a car, L'chor is a deraisa. You turn on the engine, L'chor, turning on the engine, L'chor is a deraisa, according to most places. This is the whole issue when the conservative movement, when they said you can drive to shul, that's when everyone, all the Rabbanim, got all deep into what exactly is the Isser deraisa to drive a car, to drive or go on the bus. But the bottom line is, you're dealing with Chil Shabbos deraisa, so even the Rabban. So how are you allowed to invite a person to spend Shabbos with you when it will lead in some shape or form to Chil Shabbos? This is the issue. So let me jump to the end. Okay, so I have over here a sefer. This is a phenomenal sefer. Unbelievable. Ever you've seen this in the paper called Headlines. Okay? Halachic Debates of Current Events. This was written by Harav David Lichtenstein. This is a Moiridika Sefer. Moiridika Sefer. All of the contemporary, what? I don't know. I didn't even get a chance to read who he is. I don't know his background. He has Haskamas from Herschel Schechter, and from Rabbi Belsky, and from Nosson Sherman from Art Scroll, and from Rav Yafin. From Beis Yosef, Nevardik over here, Nevardik, and Rav David Cohn. He seems like he's rooted in Flappish, right? From Rav David Cohn and Nevardik, and Nelson Sherman lives around the corner here, and Rav Herschel Schechter, and it's published by the OU Press. Okay, this is the book Art School will not publish. for obvious reasons. If you read some of the topics,
Safra and Lubavitch read this.
What?
You invite someone. This is the old argument.
That yeah. So we're going to discuss. Okay. So he goes through. I mean, this is, you got to read this book. Yeah, he has probably 30 different contemporary issues. One of the paragraphs, one of the chapters, is dealing with exactly this issue, and he lays it out like no one else. He lays out Ali Yisaitis. He goes through the whole sugya from beginning to end in clear, simple English, even someone like me can understand. Now, let me just tell you the basic Yisaitis. Let me jump to the conclusion. Okay, I'm pushing, turning all the pages, and let me tell you, what is the maskana? Are you allowed to invite a neighbor, a co-worker who lives in Queens? Please, come with me for Shabbos. Come to my Shabbos Suda. And I'll put you up for the whole, I don't want it to be Chil Shabbos, so I'll put you up for the whole Shabbos. You can come Friday, and you can leave Saturday night. And the fellow says, listen, I can't come for the whole Saturday. I'll come for an afternoon meal. And you'll say, okay, fine, but if the door is open, if you want, yeah, I'm ready to have you Friday night. You want to come Shabbos morning, you want to come to shul with me, you want to show up 9 o'clock, you want to come 11 o'clock, okay, that's also okay. But what's going to happen? Let's not fool ourselves here. It's 99.999% chance he's not going to come, take you up for the invitation and show up Friday night, and it's 99.999% that he's going to drive, he's not going to walk, he's not going to stay over in a hotel or something, he's going to walk in the Mechal Shabbos to get to you. Are you allowed to extend such an invitation when this is going to happen? So the bottom line is, and this is really what Buchwald told us, the bottom line is, it's a machlekes apoiskin. It's really not so simple. Don't get it. According to his conclusion, Harav David Lichtenstein, which he really, he's looking for coolest. That's not, you go through this book, you're going to find a lot of coolest. He's not looking to make trouble. He says that according to Rav Moshe, it would appear that it's osur.
Right. Moshe said it.
It's also. Rav Moshe is very clear. The Yisrael Shalom Rav Moshe about having boys come to Davin, and the only way they're going to come to Davin is they're going to have to daft the Mechal Shabbos. Rav Moshe from his Chubis is mashma that such an invitation, which will likely lead to Chil Shabbos, is not the way you are Mechazek Shabbos. You're not Mechazek Shabbos by having people be Mechal Shabbos. Even though you'll tell me, but in the big picture of things, they'll Mechal Shabbos to get here, and the experience they'll have will transform them for the rest of their lives. That's not the way halacha operates. Two wrongs don't make a right. This is the sheet of Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe is supported by Rav. The shevet.
One wrong. The end. The means to the end.
The means do not just. The ends do not justify the means. Yes. This is the shita of Rav Moshe, Rav the Shevet Halevi, Harav Shmuel Wozner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Nifta only Lez also. He takes the side of Rav Moshe. He was against this type of approach. He did not hold of this approach of Kiruv on Shabbos, which likely includes Chil Shabbos and Avol Yashev as well. So he's dealing with three major league Paiskim who appear to be against this entire approach. By the way, the Shabbos project, a lot of the people inviting people to Shabbos is on a case-in-case basis. Not a lot of things that they're doing don't go. You have to know what's going on. Every situation is different. But I'm just talking the specific example that I gave you. What you see project inspire makes a request. If you have a co-worker, they invite them for Shabbos, invite them for the whole Shabbos, even though you know they're going to drive over for your Shabbos meal. According to Rav Moshe, Rav Shmuel Wozner, and Rav Eliashiv, this is something which is against the spirit of halacha, and it should not be done. Okay, however, this opinion, for whatever reason, is not, from what I see, I'm not the whole world, I don't know what's going on out there, appears not to be accepted la halacha. The Olam is soimech on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. And Rav Moshe Sternbach, another three of the major league Paiskim, who disagree respectfully with Rav Moshe and Rav Eliashiv and Rav Wozner, and they hold it's mutter. Not only is it mutter, It should be done. If you notice the Flatbush Jewish Journal this week, they put out in the preparation, you notice they had a whole page of Haskamas. Why do they go put in a whole page of Haskamas? Because they know what they're doing is very controversial. It's a very controversial. They have on top all two big Rashivas, and they basically every Rav signed on. They, what they're basically doing is because they know that they're setting themselves up for a lot of criticism. There's no question that this approach is linked to Chil Shabbos. There are people that people are going to be driving up, and they're going to be Haredim, they're going to be extremists, that are going to be, what kind of business is this? You're going to Kiryav and Shabbos, and they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. They know they're setting themselves up for trouble, and that's why they were very clever to
go ahead.
So I'm going to go through some of the sugyas in a moment, just going to touch on the Rosh Hashanah. So they know they're setting themselves up for trouble, so they're protecting themselves. They basically have on board, basically, all the major league poskim. This is what is accepted in today's day and age. Not all the Piskei Halacha of Moshe, for whatever reason, were accepted. I don't know how to explain it, but that's how it is. Especially when it comes to Shabbos. Rav Moshe on Inyone Shabbos was an extremist.
Yeah.
Rav Moshe, he came to America, you have to understand, there was nothing. The Shabbos was nothing. He went to the extreme. Yeah. He went to the extreme. Today, the Piskei, the new modern day, the modern Piskei, they take a different approach. Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, is very strong. There are many legitimate reasons why you can be Makel in Halacha. We'll go to some of the reasons, and that's why that is pretty much the approach you see today among the mainstream. The mainstream is to be Makel, like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and like Rav Sternbach. They hold that it is mut. Now, what are the issues? So over here in this book, it's a very complicated, a lot of sugyas, a lot of mekoros. He basically breaks it down to three different categories. First of all, not maybe the idea of being makarva person to be observant is so great. Look at it from the other extreme. Not only do you let them be machal Shabbos to arrive in your home, and you can make an argument. This is not a joke. I'll pick you up. I want you to come for a Suda Shabbos. I'm going to show you what Shabbos is all about. Then don't worry. I'll pick you up. What time do you want to come? We'll have a meal. We'll have a meal at my kids come home 11 o'clock. I'll skip davening. I'm not joking. I'll daven v'skivasikin, and I'll drive to Queens, to New Jersey. I'll pick you up, and I'll bring you over for Shabbos. What? I will be mechal Shabbos deraisa multiple times in order to give you, the unaffiliated Jew, a time, a flavor of what Shabbos is about. What Shabbos is about, to save your poor soul from Gehenna, but what's going to be in the next world. I cannot allow you to leave this world without having the taste of Shabbos, so you'll have a chelik in Olam Haba.
You can would latch on to that case.
What? No, Rav Yaakov, no way. That is not accepted. It's mashma from the Shulchan Aruch. It's almost mashma. You can do this. The Beis Yosef and the Taz, the Magen Avraham.
I ask you a question. When Shabbos and somebody's dying and there's that sort of
the Koch Nefesh,
you do it. You're Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah.
To save him, to make him a lot of Shabbos.
Right.
So why is this different?
The neshama is even more important than the guf.
I'm asking, why is it different?
It's no different. That's what the Nachla Shiva says. It's no different. The Nachla is one of the Kadmoinim. The Nachla Shiva is known famous for Nachla Shiva. He says that it's no different. He brings many rites. Again, there's so much information over here. I'm dizzy from all the information. I'm just throwing out a couple of ideas. look at the story. The story of Purim. Why do we have a holiday of Purim? It's a Gemara. If they add this, they based it upon Pesach. And Pesach, we were only slaves. It was only a shiloh pikuach nefesh. It may avdus lecherus from slavery to freedom, we make a Yom Tov. Alachas kama v'kama. I'm sorry, v'chanukah, they made a kalachamber. If when it came to Purim, avdus l'cheirus, we made a celebration. So when it came to the miracle of Chanukah, when our neshamos were in danger, the Gemara says, alachas kama v'kama. Is there a need to sing Shira and to make a celebration, to make a holiday? So the Gemara says that it's even more important to focus on the neshamah than to focus on the guf. So nachla shiva.
Okay. At the same time, Esther was mechal and a lot of
to not sell the world. So you can make many arguments. Now the truth is, all this, the earliest source of this shiloh comes from a tshuva that was sent to a Rashba. Everyone, I want to throw out some of the ideas. You should be familiar with some of these ideas. Everyone talks about the tshuva sarashba. What is the tshuva sarashba? A girl, a father had a daughter, and the daughter went off the derech. She went to the other side of the river. And she was doing things there that were shaloi kidin. Who knows what was going on? And the father came to the Rashba. And he said, can I go and be machalol Shabbos to cross the river to save my daughter from being nichshol in sin? It was not a shalom bikoch nefesh. No one was going to kill his daughter. The question was, she was in bad company. And one thing would lead to another. Am I allowed to be machalol Shabbos to travel more than Yud Beis Mil to do things in order to go and retrieve her? So the Rashba did not have an answer. The Rashba concluded Hadavar Tsaruch Talmud. This is what he traces, and all the literature that deals with this shayla, this is really they all trace it down to this Rashba. This is exactly the shayla. What?
The answer is don't ask. If you ask, you're going to say and get no.
He didn't know. The Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef says you can do it. You can be Mechal Shabbos. Okay, the case was the Beis Yosef says. The Beis Yosef says you can. Now, let me just throw out some ideas. The Beis Yosef says, now again, we're dealing with the extreme. We're dealing with an extreme where you are being Mechalel Shabbos in order to save someone else. We're not dealing where the person himself is being Mechalel Shabbos so that he knows. Is anybody Mechalel Shabbos? What is he going to do? What is he going to do on Shabbos? On Shabbos, anyway, he's going to go out to a movie, go to a baseball game. Anyway, he's going to eat non kosher. So if you want to make a calculation, how many averis is he going to do, you're probably saving him hundreds of averis. That's not your calculation to make. Your calculation is you are directly causing him to do specific averis by coming to you for the greater good. The greater good of being inspired to learn what Shabbos is all about. But let's go again a step further. Maybe I myself should be Mechal Shabbos to save him. So from the Shulchan Aruch, so one of the rayas is that we have a halach of a chatzi ev, this very important makar for this part of the discussion, is a chatzi ev is a chatzi ben chayrin. A person has in his possession a slave. Once upon a time it was owned by two partners, and one partner freed his portion, so this slave is now half free, and he's half a slave. This individual who was 50% owned by you cannot get married. A chatzi ev and a chatzi ben chorin is not allowed to marry. There's no solution for him to marry. He cannot, because the half of him. So Bezdin tells the person who owns the half, the 50% slave, you must free your slave to enable your slave to get married. Because getting married is a very important mitzvah. The world was created for pre-reveal. Not for tohu. Problem is, you're not allowed to free a slave. It says, yet the halacha is, do an avera in order to enable another fellow to do a mitzvah. Do an avera, free your slave, violate a mitzvah saseh de'oraisa, la'olam bohem ta'avodu, so this fellow will be able to get married and have children. Will he get married and have children? You don't know. You don't know if he'll get married. Even if he'll get married, who says he'll have children? It's a gift from Hashem to have children. What?
He's doing what he has to
do. You have to do what you have to enable. So this, we don't appreciate how powerful this Raya is. You don't appreciate the Beis Yosef quotes this Raya in response to the tshuva that was sent to the Rashba. Look how far Chazal went. They told you sin in order to enable a person to theoretically, to possibly do a mitzvah. Why should it be different if your daughter is in bad company? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? It's only a Shabbos. You can still be Mechal Shabbos to save your daughter. So someone will argue that's how far it goes. Now, halacha l'maaseh, so we don't go so far. We're running out of time. The Nachlashiv indeed, he brings many rayas that at solas nefoshos l'sanol damri echa, the minchas chinuch. They bring many rayas. Now halacha, fine. So this is one issue. Now halacha l'maisa, we don't go. The Shavus Yaakov disagrees. The reason why we don't take this nachlas shiva to the extreme, you have to be aware of this term, is because of the Shavus Yaakov. These are the big heavyweight names in this sugya. You have the Rashba. That's the earliest Shiloh with the daughter who's in bad company. Came in Mechal Shabbos. Hadavar Tzarich Limud. You have the Beis Yosef that says it's mutter. The Nachla Shiv that says it's mutter. And the Nachla Shiv goes to town and the Beis Yosef brings the sugya of the Chatzi Eve and the Chatzi Ben Charin. But the one that puts a nail in the coffin is the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov says that the mitzvah of getting married is exceptional. Okay? I don't have all the details, but the basic idea is we find you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos unless it's Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, I'm a little bit confused. Alright, let's just leave it with that. The Shvus Yaakov holds, and it's not, there are a lot of reasons why you can't compare the cases presented by the Beis Yosef, but the Nachla Shiva has conclusive proof why it should be Mutter. Okay, so let's put that aside. Let's go to the two other issues. The other issue is Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. We've discussed so far the issue of are you yourself allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Let's say, Halacha L'maaseh, we accept the opinion of the Shvus Yaakov that you're not. You are not allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos in order to inspire another person to observe Shabbos. Okay, for many reasons, the Shvus Yaakov, it's awesome. Okay, fine. I will not be Mechal Shabbos. But let me at least invite someone. Let me at least invite someone to my home, even though I am enabling, I'm encouraging him to Mechal Shabbos to get here. Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. So what is this? Here is the hot issue. The hot issue is Lifnei Iver Lo, this is an Iser De'oraisa, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. If I go and I tell you, come to my house today at this time. I'm doing Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. But the Gemara says it's only when there's no other way for him to do the Avera. If the betray Ivrei Denara, when the person is on the other side of the river, he does not have access to non-kosher meat, the only way he'll have kosher meat is I give him the kosher meat, otherwise he cannot have. If I give him away, but if he can get non-kosher meat in the store, and I give him non-kosher meat, that is not Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. The person is on the way to the store to buy non-kosher meat, and I say, oh, here, take my non-kosher meat. Have I violated the Issur D'oraisa Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol? Absolutely not. He does not need me to do the Avera. He anyway would have done the Avera. He would have done it even better without me. So now that I went and I enabled him to do the Avera, that is not a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Now here is the big issue in Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. This is really where Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, they take sides. And that is, what happens if I tell him, you don't have. I don't want to deal with Lifnei Iver because you can. I will provide transportation. You can stay with me for the entire Shabbos. I will put you up Friday night through Mitzvah Shabbos. If you want to go and drive on your own and come to Dan Tam, that's your problem. I'm not helping you do the Avera. Because I am providing you a way out. Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol is only when there is no way out. The only way he can participate is if he is Mechal Shabbos. But if I provide a possibility, I provide a means, a way where he can enjoy the Shabbos without being Mechal Shabbos, even though he chooses to be Mechal Shabbos, that's not called Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. But here's the key point. Even though it's true, technically, he doesn't need to be Mechal Shabbos because I am willing to provide him with a place to stay Friday night. But what is the likelihood? Do we take into consideration the likelihood will he be Mechal Shabbos?
Is that my business?
What?
Is that my business?
Is that your business? This is a major machlokes hapaiskim. And that's really where the issue hangs.
Let me ask you.
It's a given. All the paiskim agree. All the paiskim agree. We're running out of time. All the paiskim agree. Everyone agrees that you have to provide him, your guest, with an alternative where there will not be Chil Shabbos. That is a given across the board. Everyone who is invited as a guest, and if he lives out of the neighborhood, he's listening. He says, I'm willing, you can stay by me. You have to say those words. You could stay by me for the entire Shabbos from Friday night, Friday afternoon to Shabbos ends. If he declines, so I've taken away the absolute necessity. But what is the likelihood? What is the probability? If the probability is 99% is being Mechal Shabbos, is that still called Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Nichshol? Some say yes, and some say even if there's a 0.001% that is not going to be Mechal Shabbos, that takes away the Yisra Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Nichshol.
One question.
I have to ask you first. He goes first. Yeah.
Most people know by come to eat Shabbos or on the Yom Tov.
Yeah.
That's not a Yom help to anyone to become a Shomer Shabbos. Because it does not change. But 99%, 44, it does not change.
Not necessarily. It makes an impression.
In such a case, he's allowed to come.
It makes an impression. Maybe it makes an impression. It makes an impression.
What about in your building?
Yeah.
You're on the first floor, he's on the fifth.
No, there's nothing wrong.
He's going to be taking the elevator.
So the same thing then. What's the probability? Yeah. It will be the same issue. This is the hot issue. When you provide a legal loophole, and now there's a 0.1% chance that they will not be Michal Shabbos.
You could stay by me instead of taking the elevator?
Yeah. Yes. If you hold, because it's still, the person is now being over on an Isser de Oiraisa, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Nichshol. Even though there's a possibility, you can, good for your possibilities. Halacha is determined based upon probability, not possibility. All of the poskim that are matter lechatchila, Rav Yaakov, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Sternbach, they all hold that lifnei iver lo sitei nichshol is based upon possibility, not based upon probability. Major nafkamina lahalacha. Okay, the third issue is okay. Very good. Very good. There's no, we're going to take away lifnei iver. You're not going to be mechal. You're not picking him up. But there's another prohibition of nisayeya l'dvar avera. Nisayeya l'dvar avera is an iser dirabbanon. It's not an iser d'oraisa. And this is a Tosfos, this is a Ran. So how are you allowed, even though there's no technical violation, nisayeya is certainly in the category of probability. Nisayeya l'dvar avera. So how do we avoid that? So the only answer for that is the big picture. Misayel dvar avera. The way they rationalize misayel is that misayel dvar avera only applies to a person who is a mummer, a person who is a mummer, who is an outright apikoris, an outright sinner, a person who does an avera lishma for the real purpose of doing an avera. Such a type of person enabling him or encouraging him to do an avera, there's an issa d'rabbanan. But it was a tinuk shen nishva, so many poskim say there's no prohibition of misayel l'dvar avera. He doesn't even know what he's doing. So the people that were inviting for Shabbos are not people who are alahachis. If they were alahachis people, they wouldn't even be coming. So according to many poskim, the prohibition midrabban of misayel l'dvar avera does not apply to them, and that's why it would be mutter. So l'tzach hakol, there are three issues. Could you do an avera? Number two, even if you're not doing an avera, you're being overrun lifnei iver lo sitei nichshol. The third issue is misayel dvar avera. For the first issue, no one's going to give a heter for the first issue. No one's allowing people today to go and drive on Shabbos to bring guests to your home. That we're not doing. The major issue is they said the rest lifnei iver, so we hold that it's based upon possibility, not upon probability. And as far as misayel dvar avera, we have a lot of kutz. Only it's just a midrabanan. They're not a mumur. It's a netinik shenishpa, and also. So there you have the possibility, there Chazal Alini, you can look into the ultimate good. Thereby the Misayel Dvar Avera, since it is it's a Derabanan, you can be lean, you can say the means, the ends justify the means.
If he comes in the car, you know for sure for 3 hours or 4 hours is.
It doesn't matter. That's not your cheshbon to make. That's a very nice thing. The bottom line is, how did you get here? You got here because of me. This Chilul Shabbos is on my plates. You could have done the worst averis. None of my business. The only reason that you got here, I was instrument. What? No, that it's a different level, a different madrega. You arrived here on Shabbos because of me. I have to deal with that. That's not so simple. Rav Moshe was very uncomfortable with that. Rav Moshe, Rav Yashiv didn't like. Okay, so these are the issues. The bottom line is, it is the minhag ha'olam in this generation to be nekel. There's no question about it. Across the board, the proof is open up any of the newspapers. You'll see all of the haskamas. The whole Lubavitch is built upon this. And then Ephraim Buchwald, he told us this. He says that they were dealing with this, and all of the rabbanim, they told him, Eis lasos la'Hashem. There's no question. There are millions of neshamas out there that are totally lost. They don't even know they're Jewish. If you're not going to do this, they'll be lost. Eis lasos la'Hashem to be samech on the mekilim, on the lenient opinion of opinions. You have an opinion of halacha that's lenient. Go for it to save a neshama in Klal Yisrael.